Article 1 of the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights states that all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and should act towards one another in a spirit of brotherhood. You're listening to the Article 1 podcast. I'm Gabrielle Piska. In both our podcast and magazine editions, we're dedicated to reporting on human rights issues from a variety of perspectives. This series is produced as part of the Community Podcast Initiative on Treaty 7 territory and powered by Shaw. In this episode, we examine transit systems in Canada and how its current setup is riddled with inequalities. Public transit is a service that so many Canadians rely on in their everyday lives. But those who need it most, such as low-income and BIPOC communities, are continuing to be affected by Canada's struggle to provide equitable service. To discuss this issue is Ty Dylan Higashihara, a fourth-year student at the University of Toronto and an active member with TTC Riders, a transit activist group in the Toronto area. He touches on his own experiences as a longtime transit user, as well as what he believes are some of the key changes that need to be made in order to make Toronto's transit system equitable. I met up virtually with Ty, who resides in Toronto on Treaty 13 territory.
Here with Ty, he is one of the members of TTC Riders in Toronto. So thank you, Ty, so much for being able to talk about your experiences today.
Thank you for having me.
So from your experience using transit, have you noticed anything really wrong about the way the system might be structured?
I think three things come to mind specifically. One is lack of transparency in decision making around transit, and that can come to like removing service without informing people. Decision making's sort of maintaining, there's an issue where decision makers around transit seem, instead of focusing on fixing and maintaining service, they want to expand it or change or unnecessary changes that don't seem to service anyone. And the public consultations seem to be only there as a sort of surface level function and not actual tool for policymaking.
Okay, I'd love to actually go a little bit more into what you said there, just the idea that they're more focused on expanding their service versus maintaining the service that's already there. I'd love if you could go a little bit more into that and how that might affect like yourself or even minority groups or people of color.
Yeah, so recently, there's two things. The Scarborough RT, there's a light rail transit that's being expanded, which will take a long time. And so throughout this process, even though this is not going to be there in the near future, they're removing service, which means that like they're only removing service in preparation for this, despite the fact that people still rely on the bus services. So there's a sort of like gap there. And also, I don't know if you know about the Ontario line, which is like a new subway line that was being proposed. It seems as though this service, it may be needed. However, I suspect that it's actually will not service and will not improve the congestion downtown. And what is needed is actually a proper sort of subway line through the Toronto suburbs in order to make their commute easier, which would relieve congestion.
So what are some of the hardest parts about having to use transit right now?
Oh, the hardest parts, I think often, like I myself is not someone with a disability, but I think accessibility is a large issue. And even for pedestrians, some transit is not focused on sort of linking walkability with the use of transit, but those two things are so connected and must be kept in mind. Also, I think planning around delays, that's a hard thing because people's lives, a large chunk of transit users' lives are dedicated to planning and timing, and that takes not a toll, but it is a large inconvenience when service can be infrequent and not reliable.
Now, my next question is, do you feel like you've maybe been wronged in the way that the transit system is built in your city?
Yeah, I think I mentioned this a little bit previously, where like the GTA, where transit could have been better connected, the downtown core could have been better connected to the Toronto suburbs, and the Toronto suburbs could be better connected, but it isn't. So there's a huge disconnect between frequent service within the downtown core and very poor service in, let's say, Scarborough, for example. And that, to me, is very wrong. And there's no permanent funding. So the service cuts and frequent service delays can be, you know, really rooted on people not taking transit. And that's only because of there's like a downward spiral of people seeing transit as not reliable, so they don't want to take transit, and people don't take transit, and the fares, the TTC will have a loss of income, and so they take it out on the transit users by cutting service, and that's a huge issue for me.
Now, a quick follow-up too, when you mentioned that there's a big disparity between the downtown riders who there's congestion versus the really poor service in kind of the suburb areas like Scarborough, do you notice any correlation between the lack of service in terms of what we talked about before, like the necessity risers? So maybe riders who need to use transit the most, like people of color or who need accessibility and stuff like that. Like, do you kind of notice they're atoning to where they need the service most based on the people who don't need to actually use service the most?
Yes, I do. I think that's exactly where it's correlated, because poor service for communities who often need it the most, they have no choice but to put up with it. However, the downtown core, what's also interesting is that if you look on Google Maps or you plan a route, there's now options to take Ubers because there's a gap in service, which for a lot of riders, that's not feasible because it's not in their income to you know, take an Uber frequently. But that's what the, you know, transit system should be. There's gaps in the transit system, and that needs to be filled.
Now, my next question is, wondering if you could tell me a little bit about a time where you felt particularly upset or angry by how transit maybe made your life harder, despite transit supposed to be the reason to make things easier.
Well, there's an express bus that takes me to campus every so often from like my from a subway stop. But before that express bus, it was like a normal bus, and they introduced the express bus semi-recently. And I remember talking to one of my professors who take transit as well. And he said that, like, what's interesting is the express and non-express bus previously, there's no change in amount of stops or service. They just added the word express to it, thinking that it would sound faster. But it's the complete same service, which is crazy to me.
So despite them trying to make an express bus to promote that it's going to be faster, it's exactly the same time.
Yeah.
My next question is, in my research, I've found that a lot of the way transit is set up can put minority or lower income groups at a disadvantage, despite those groups being the ones who need transit the most. Mm-hmm. How do you kind of feel about that research, or do you agree with that statement?
I do. I do agree with the statement that there is a lot of focus on sort of boutique is not the right word, but a boutique transit where it seems it's very flashy and the service is not like for everyone. It's really tailored to specific urban residents that take transit for a little bit, and then but they have the ability to fill the service gaps with other modes of transportation. And this leaves transit users who need it, like frontline workers, who are left with an incomplete service that is often delayed and there's huge cuts to it, and that's unreliable, which is wholly unjust.
Now, would you say that, as a follow-up, in kind of that transit system focusing on those riders that maybe get the choice to choose if they want to ride transit, would you say it's almost leaving the communities that need transit the most and the communities that are impacted by low income, the ones that are kind of being left in the dust, I guess, metaphorically, or not getting the services that they need?
Yes, because to improve like service and with specifically in the TTC, because the TTC relies so heavily on fares that like without frequency because of the pandemic and everything, those who needed it continue to use it despite service cuts, despite delays. And there was no move to secure permanent funding. So these services, these vital transportation links are maintained. There was no move to secure that and to make it better. And the only way you can improve on it is to have a foundation of a permanent funding base.
Now, I also found in my research that transit systems, like kind of like you mentioned, they choose to focus heavily on ridership numbers and income that comes kind of from the fares. This means that they focus more on trying to bring more choice riders versus paying attention to those necessary riders. Have you noticed this yourself, or I guess, would you agree with this statement?
Definitely. Because you can, there is a clear change in service, because the subway, like for me, I frequently go to Scarborough because my campus is there. And you can tell the downtown core is more navigable because there's a lot more options when it comes to buses, subways. But there is a huge line. Once you've entered Scarborough, it's almost like a transit desert. There's only bus service that is and people are so reliant on it. So when the TTC cuts all this, it puts a lot of these people who rely on it for work and education on the back burner, and they're almost forgotten about it. Not to mention the issues with those who have disabilities trying to access disability and extra services like that. There's, you know, it's really not in the budget, so they're left on the sidelines. And you can see that in the TTC budget. The 5-year fare plan was not, they needed that funding mechanism in order to improve service, in order to get service back to the levels that they were, but it was not put it into the budget, and it was ignored. It was ignored.
My next question is, coming from someone who uses the system really frequently, what would you suggest as a way that needs to have the system improved?
One thing would be to reduce fares. That would get a lot of people back, and that would ameliorate a lot of the issues that I've talked about, and you know, a lot of the research backs that reducing fares, getting people back, and then from there, making it more accessible. The TTC seems to be very adverse in accessibility, and there's a huge issue. And again, coordinating it to make it more pedestrian friendly. Some bus stops don't even have shelters. They're just a pole, which is not the ideal, when especially in winter when people are waiting out in the cold. And flat fares for services that would allow for those who live on the like edges of the city or sort of the suburbs to come in and be able to access the downtown core, or vice versa, making the city so much more navigable and equitable for everyone.
Now, just a quick follow-up on what you said there. Would you notice that the same with like the infrastructure in terms of shelter or heating, stuff like that?
Yes, I think there's a lot of investment in sheltered bus stops or sort of stops within the downtown area. However, if you go out into Scarborough or Etobicoke, there seems to be a lack of that. But the only like exception to the rule is municipal transit in My Way or Brampton. They actually have somewhat of a better bus system than the TTC because they've invested in it and it's paid off a great deal. So I do notice that. there's a huge disparity.
Have you noticed the transit system change or shift maybe during the pandemic specifically?
Huge amount. I think one of the more glaring issues is service cuts. Huge service cuts. And sometimes service cuts that are not told to the public. So you're expecting a service and it's not there. I've had that experience. Lack of sort of frequency, I would say, and all of this has led to overcrowding actually within buses and subways, which is dangerous because, you know, under this pandemic, people who are using on it are at most risk because of the decisions the TTC has made.
Okay. Now, just a quick follow-up too, if you're willing, I know you mentioned saying that you had an experience where they cut services without letting anyone know and you just kind of show up. And would you be willing to share that experience with me?
Yes, actually, it was not even like in Scarborough. It was more closer in East York where I live, where I was waiting for a streetcar and there was no on the signs or and there was no information about it. But the streetcar stopped. And there was no explanation, obviously, of like why they were doing this, but that they were not servicing that line anymore. That I had to go somewhere else to have a shuttle bus almost. It completely different spot. So yeah, without informing the public. Yeah.
So you were just out there waiting for who knows how long, and then you eventually. How did you figure out that you had to go somewhere else? And how long were you out there?
I was out there for maybe an hour or so. Yeah, until I think a lot of other people told me, like there's people walking. I think someone who was fed up just was walking home or something, and they told us who were waiting in the stop, like, oh, this is, you have to go down to a different street. Yeah, it was, yeah. And it was night, so it was also, yeah.
My next question would be, after speaking to a few researchers studying transit systems, they noted that the pandemic could actually be the perfect time to look at revamping the system. It showed that we can keep a system running without focusing on just ridership because the government pitched in a lot of grant money in other provinces to keep the system running. What do you think about that? Do you think that COVID might be a good time to look at revamping the system in the way that we view ridership?
I really do, because I think that especially the TTC, who relies on operational funding so much, that because of the extra government funding that was handed to them, it showed that permanent operation fund is not only needed, it is something that should be secured for, in order to, you know, for most people. And the lack of that is seen in the fact that the TTC had to cut service afterwards. I agree to the point where the pandemic has exposed weaknesses within the transit system, and really the needs and the needs within the system. The glaring needs within the system and where we can start to work to fix that. If frequency is not, like frequency within the transit system is not secured and is not tied, you can see that it doesn't have to be tied to ridership so much. That frequency can be there despite a lack of ridership. And, you know, That I think is something really revealing.
That was Ty Dylan Higashihara, a fourth-year student at the University of Toronto and an active member of TTC Riders. You've been listening to the Article 1 podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Article 1 is a human rights magazine published by Mount Royal University journalism students in Calgary, Alberta. You can find us online at article-1.ca. That's the number one. This series is produced as part of the Community Podcast Initiative and powered by Shaw. This podcast was also produced on Treaty 7 territory, a region with a long tradition of storytelling, rich culture, and history. Since human rights is a universal issue, we're committed to elevating and including all voices, including First Peoples, as we continue our work. Thanks to artist Broke for Free for our theme. The song is Daybird off their Directionless EP. My name is Gabrielle Piska. Thanks for listening.